I'm Tommy Gimler here at the Daily Upper Decker, where in 2018, Adam Furberg and I have decided to record our podcast every Monday night at the Speakeasy Cocktail in Santa Monica. Now, last night when we decided to record, there were about four, maybe five patrons, if you include the bartender, you know, five dudes who were in attendance while we recorded our podcast, and one of them just decided for whatever reason to consistently rub Adam Furberg's back while Adam tried to give his input on the topics that I laid out for him. So you might notice that Adam Furberg's answers are a little short, and there might be like an overwhelming sense of urgency from Adam Furberg to just hurry up and finish the podcast and let's get the hell out of here. And that is because the dude, while he offered plenty of insight on the size of Nick Foles' penis, as well as the fact that he looks like a guidance counselor, the dude just continually rubbed Adam Furberg's back, making it a very uncomfortable podcast for one Adam Furberg. So keep that in mind. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's edition of The Daily Upper Decker.
And I'm Adam Furberg, and this week the Jacksonville Jaguars lost the only game this season where Blake Bortles didn't throw an interception, which just proves to you that when the refs are on your side, you can even beat perfection.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. That was like the Jew stat of the day, I feel like.
Which one?
That was a Jewish stat right
there.
That was great.
Thank you.
Where did you hear that? I didn't even know that.
I forgot. I think it was on SportsCenter or during the game. Maybe Romo said it because that guy is just so enthusiastic about watching the game and just like pointing out what can happen, who missed this thing.
Yeah,
he's so informative.
I love how 5 seconds ahead of time he knows like, oh, this is going to be a run to the left.
Right. No, and he's
here you go.
His enthusiasm and his knowledge of the game, like you compare that, we cut from a clip of, we watched like the condensed games back to back, and you compare like Roman, like, all right, you see how he missed the gap there? He wasn't there, he was playing it, and now this game is tied. Holy crap, like everyone's coming through right now. And then you cut to Aikman, and he's like, well, you know, they've certainly demonstrated they're not playing the best football today.
Yeah. I don't know what Marcus Williams is doing.
They're losing there, Joe. Did you know that?
No, I think one of the you even pointed out the usually Fox, I feel like, whether or not it's a basketball game. Like, I watched the Wisconsin Badgers play the Fighting Illini of Illinois.
They're broadcasting, you know, college basketball now.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, yeah. And I just, especially if Gus Johnson's calling it. Mm-hmm. Like, the Badgers suck balls this year. The Illini are even worse. But if you're watching on Fox, it's a very watchable game because I just feel like they're hands down better. But I agree. I think Romo and Nance have now superseded Buck and Aikman. And it's strictly because Romo's so much better than Aikman.
Well, also Buck has always just kind of called out the obvious. They're like each eat the other person's captain obvious to that person. So they just tack on left and right, just the clear thing that everyone already sees.
Right. So you want to talk about the Patriots and Jaguars first?
Right. There we go.
All right. First up here in the hot mess, the Jaguars fall to the Patriots 24-20. It's an amazing stat. So he didn't throw an interception.
He didn't throw an interception. The only game that they lost this season where he didn't throw a pick.
You know, and crazy, like for the Jaguars, it was either, I think, you go all the way and win the Super Bowl this year, or else it's like going to be the worst case scenario. Because now that Bortles had two games where it was like, oh, he looks like an NFL quarterback.
Right.
They're going to throw like $120 million at him. And it's.
You couldn't have put up a better game than maybe like. So there was a play towards the end of the game where Fournette got some separation from whoever was guarding him.
Yep.
And it was a 6-inch to a foot play where the ball went one way and the hands went the other. He catches that ball. If it goes a foot the other direction towards him, he scores.
And my $50 bet in the second half over hits.
And Jacksonville wins the game because there's a minute and a half to go. That was it. They almost had it and they just missed it.
Dynamite dropping from Adam Furberg. Find him on Twitter at Adam Furberg, FEUERBERG.
Listen, I'm always pointing out the moments that you may have missed because you were drunk.
Oh, it's great. I have a brother-in-law. He's a really nice guy, but he'll text me sometimes. And it was right before halftime where he was complaining. And a lot of people were complaining about the pass interference.
Listen, I watched the condensed games. I've watched them twice now. I like to prepare for my moments.
You don't have a job right now, do you, Adam?
I don't. I'm not working. I'm just
totally
collecting.
Prepping for the dud podcast.
Unemployment and dud. You know what I mean? That's that is my life right now. So, listen, it was pass interference. I saw
right.
it. It was they were the truth is that they didn't call certain. Like interference calls throughout the game when they could have. Gronk, everyone's like, Gronk, you could have. No, Gronk got hit in the head.
Right.
He got hit in the head with another guy's
helmet.
Well,
yeah, so I think like that first pass interference call, like it was just unnecessary. You have to call it.
Right.
But if he put both of his hands
right.
on him, and
no.
there was no reason to do that. If he doesn't do it, it's not pass interference.
Live, you don't quite register it. But when they show the replay, he was on him.
It wasn't just one. He turned around and put both hands on him. They're going to call that every time. It's an easy call for
the referees. I told the Patriots ref stroke, but I don't think that really happened today. I really don't.
No, not this time.
No, the Jags play aggressively, and sometimes it costs them.
Yeah, I my brother-in-law, he was like, he goes, and that Gronk call was bullshit, too. And I'm like, he got fucking concussed.
He got hit. How is it? He's out of the game. He may not play in the Super Bowl.
He got concussed.
Well, here's the other thing. That's a lovely storyline. You know how I remember? It's funny how we have Eagles and Patriots in the Super Bowl again. Can you excited? Can you tell how excited I am about pitchers and catchers reporting? Can I refer to the Eagles or the Phillies? That's because I'm a baseball guy. I'm one of 10 in America left. Uh-huh. I think you're number 2 on the list.
Right.
You and me. That's it. But.
A couple of other white people, but yeah.
Right. And maybe some Dominicans if they haven't already been booted back. Fuck, I'm sorry, guys. You got to stick around and play baseball. The Eagles are in, and remember the storyline going into that Eagles-Patriots game in 2005 was Terrell Owens. Remember?
He had a bum ankle.
Roy Williams broke his leg.
Right.
Roy Williams broke. That was the game that determined that a horse collar tackle was going to be against the rules.
The horse collar, yeah.
The horse collar tackle is now against the rules in college and pros because Roy Williams broke Terrell Owens' leg in 2004.
Well, let's go back. It's horse collar. It sounded like you were gargling on some cum or something. It's the horse collar rule. Yeah,
horse
I remember that.
Collar rule.
No, it's great.
That's why I'm drinking the High Life, Tommy, so that I enunciate properly. The only beer to allow you to still enunciate while you speak. Miller High Life. The show is not brought to you by Miller High Life. Please don't sue us, but maybe sponsor us.
You should be able to say, I'm unemployed. I'll take a Miller High Life, and they'll only give it to you for, $2 or something.
It really should be.
You get
a haircut
afterwards. If you can prove that you don't have a job.
A haircut, a bowl of soup, and a Miller High Life.
Bring in your unemployment check stub, and you'll get Miller High Life for $2 all night, wherever you go. We're at the Speakeasy in Santa Monica.
Speakeasy in Santa Monica, California.
Every single Monday night, great comedy show. It starts at about 9 o'clock. Some of the best and brightest comics, along with Adam Ferberg and Tommy Gimmel.
Yeah, you know. Just, showing up and being a part of it.
This actually would be an awesome place to watch the Super Bowl. It looks like this bar, the Speakeasy in Santa Monica, this bar has had, probably on average, especially in the 80s, probably was its peak, 6.5 Me Too moments. A weekend.
Yeah.
Hashtag Me Too moments.
But well, hanging out here every Monday in January of last year until now, maybe I don't know.
You might be accurate. You might be accurate. But this seems like the perfect place to watch the Super Bowl. A couple of smaller TVs. It just seems like there'd be the best squares pools and the best field goal pools and just the best What do you call those? The pull tabs? give me two squares over there and a couple of pull tabs. Just random illegal. There's probably cockfighting going on in the women's room.
I hope so.
There's never any women in here. It's crazy. It's always a big sausage. I love it, though.
My favorite part about this, I feel like if you wanted to make a short film about pool, this is the place to shoot it. This is it.
The Color of Money.
Yeah,
sucks.
The Hustler 2 is your college short film. Yeah.
Love it.
You cut to the guy who's playing Jackie Gleason and he just gets fatter and fatter with every shit. That's all it is. It's just Jackie Gleason expanding.
I'd watch it. I think to bring the AFC Championship game to a close, I think that a lot of people were bitching again about the penalties, but
no,
it really had nothing.
That wasn't it. It just This is how it goes. Yeah, Jacksonville got called for shit. Gronk's out. That's what's going to be the story. That's why I compare the Terrell Owens broken ankle to Gronk playing in Super Bowl 52.
Right.
That'll be the story. That's determined until the very end, and then he'll play.
Right. And then, you know, someone, even though there are the other 30 teams are all eliminated, you know,
right.
Someone will release a tight end and the Patriots will scoop him up. Like a really good tight
yeah.
end. Or like JerMichael Finley will come out of
what
like retirement.
How is it that they're the ones that land James Harrison?
And he was a factor. He was a factor in that game.
He made a important play. He basically set up a sack. He didn't get the sack.
Right.
The other guy got the sack because of the play that he made.
Yeah. It's disheartening, especially if you're a Steelers fan, saying like, "Hey, we played those guys last week.
Right. It'd
have been nice to have that."
Wait, what? He played 2 weeks in a row on different teams in the playoffs? How the fuck does that happen?
The last thing I want to talk about with the Patriots is again these stories that are utter bullshit that find their way
broken,
into the mainstream.
The bleeding hand.
He looked pretty good.
I hope. Can I get that same hand injury? Because
yeah,
I'm going to get a fucking NFL contract if someone cuts my hand like that.
Yeah, and again, like the ESPN story that came out before the postseason, like how many people didn't put bets on the Patriots to win the AFC Championship or go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl because of that Seth Wickerham story or whatever the hell his name is over at ESPN?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
the
bullshit the story at the
Garoppolo
four-letter where it was
train,
just like, yeah, where it was like, they're done. The Patriots, as we know it, they're imploding. Belichick wants to go to the Giants, who, by the way, just hired Pat Shurmur.
Yeah,
so unless Belichick is like, no. I'll be his defensive coordinator. Thank you.
I think this is proof that ESPN has become tabloid more than anything
it
else.
It really has. I think the Daily Upper Decker stories have more
merit. Well, because
we
typically show video evidence with the things upon which we comment. That's the best part. We just find funny videos and we laugh about them.
Exactly. Or we just steal other sites' stories. So it's like, if they're not right, we just say, we didn't do it. We totally took
exactly.
that from Barstool.
We
Busted
cite our
coverage
sources.
Or else, yeah.
We don't promise that they're necessarily reliable, but we have sources to cite.
I feel like that's where journalism at today is at today. Really, like all you have to do, I also write for Mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just say, according to,
right.
you know, the Bangkok Times.
According to the National Enquirer, aliens have landed and the Mets have re-signed Benny Agbayani.
The Mets have re-signed Bat Boy. So moving on to the NFC Championship game, Philadelphia Eagles just curb stomped. It was like looked dire in the first 5 minutes of the game. It was like, oh my God, Case Keenum looked like Tom Brady.
Did I share with you a story that said that the NFL had released early released an advertisement for the Super Bowl, and it featured Tom Brady and Case Keenum?
Yeah, I forgot to give you credit for that because I ran that story on Saturday. It was great to where it was like, you know, you can go see your team, and the one they put up first was Vikings-Patriots
was the first thing that they saw, and people were commenting about how the fix was in, all the Eagles fans were in, and I brought up your point to them last week that said – the last thing the tourism business in Minneapolis wants is for the Vikings to make the Super Bowl because they will lose a significant amount of income.
Right. Oh, and I agree with that. And I still think it would still be the case if Minnesota would have been the home team.
Mm-hmm.
But in a case like Minneapolis,
people would have gotten hotels to dump their kids and like go screw around after they won a chance. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The hookers already have the hotels purchased anyway.
I didn't think about that. How many pimps like put in their credit card information? They send in the credit card and authorization form.
But you, in the case of like Minneapolis, you still have states like North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa where their favorite team
is the Vikings.
Oh,
so in
Iowa,
if you're
would have
in Iowa, you root for the Vikings
come in for like 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, or the Packers, or like maybe the Chiefs.
Okay,
or something. Yeah,
Iowa's
something like
kind
that,
of in
yeah.
the middle of all those three states.
Yeah, in the old days, it would have been the Bears, but I don't think anyone roots for the Bears. Not even people in Chicago don't even care about the Bears anymore.
Does anyone say anything about how the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Pittsburgh Steelers uniforms are almost like indiscernible?
No,
they're the same. It's the same
black, gold, and white.
Right, and they're almost the placement of the stripes and the colors is almost the exact same.
Well. I don't think anybody knows where Iowa is on a map anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
My mom does. That's where she got her master's degree, the University of Iowa, Iowa City.
All you had to do was show up.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can show up for every class, we'll give you your master's. So in the NFC Championship game, 38 consecutive points for the Eagles, and just Nick Foles looked like the big dick player that, you know, he was back a couple of years ago.
Did you know that's a common hashtag for Nick Foles is Big Dick Nick?
Do you know why? We did a story on the Dud in 2014 about
it. Did we talk about it on the show and I'm like drunk and forgot?
No, this is before you were doing the podcast. Okay, so right. They interviewed this when he's with the Eagles the first time around. They interviewed someone, and it was just like it wasn't like, you know, NBC News interviewing the guy in the Eagles. It was just you know, someone saying like, "Hey man, who's got the biggest dick in the locker room?" And the guy was like, "Are you kidding me? Nick Foles." Nick Foles. So
wait, was this when he was on the Eagles the first time?
Yeah,
nice,
Nick Foles. So the guy was just like, "Yeah, oh, Nick Foles by like you know, a long shot." It's like
they had a dick measuring contest in the Eagles locker room.
Well, I think it was like
the Foles won it by this by more than a head.
It was
more than a head.
I don't even think they had to measure. I think it was like that huge that they were like, no, we don't have to measure.
Wow.
So yeah.
It's how he was able to get out of the pocket so quickly. He technically has three legs working for him.
It's just like plastic.
Yeah.
So Big Dick Nick. Big Dick Nick got his Eagles into the Super Bowl. And it's it was just like one of those games where it looked like it was going to be, wow, it's going to be a shootout. You know, like Keenum looks great, whatever. And they were even like, you know, the Vikings turned the ball over a couple of times.
First,
so it was
the
like,
first
hey, they're
pick
still moving
six.
The ball.
I kind of thought the game was over after that first pick six.
When it was 7-7?
Yeah.
I thought it was over when it was 31-7. Nick Foles looks like a guidance counselor. You only hear it here on the Daily Upper Decker podcast.
Here's the thing is that
we've
got believe
three people here at the speakeasy.
America is going to be rooting for a guidance counselor in 2 weeks.
A guidance counselor
like
with a big dick.
That's a true statement. Are you a Patriots fan?
No. Raiders fan.
You're a Raiders fan. All right.
He just has the down low.
I guess against the Raiders, Foles did look like a guidance counselor this year. That's for certain. The Raiders. Yeah, the glasses on.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he had a bow tie. Perfectly made for paisley shirts, you know.
So it's so great. So now going into the Super Bowl now, the Eagles are and I saw everything from 5-point underdogs to 6.5-point underdogs.
Right.
But it all just hedges on what are you going to get, Big Dick Nick, or I guess are you going to get guidance counselor Nick?
Oh man!
Because he looked amazing yesterday. Staying in the pocket. You know, there
was
it looked like there were three guys hanging on him.
Was yesterday better than his 7-touchdown game? Keep in mind that Nick Foles once threw 7 touchdowns in a National Football League game. That happened.
So this happened. I just pulled up the article we wrote. This is from May 20th, 2014, Nick Foles apparently has the biggest dick in the Eagles locker room. You can check it out on dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck.
Is this before or after the 7-touchdown game?
Let's see. I'll just read it.
Okay.
It's a short article. It's got 135 likes on Facebook, so that's a big article
for
us.
That's a big-time article.
That's 133 likes, more likes than we normally get. So here it is. The dude is slinging pigskins for the Philadelphia Eagles in the fall and winter, but Nick Foles apparently carries a gigantic purple-headed yogurt slinger with him year-round. So this must have been after, right?
Right.
Because he was already on the Eagles?
Right.
According to the website crossingbroad.com, Nick Foles was known as Big Dick Nick during his playing days at the University of Arizona, so much so that women on campus were afraid to fuck him. Barstool Sports posted a text from one of their faithful and said that Foles' cock was so big that he had to fold it up just to fit into his cup. I don't know many guidance counselors that have to do that. So now Deadspin has posted an excerpt from a Reddit Q&A with Eagles linebacker Connor Barwin, in which Barwin said the owner of the biggest wiener in the locker room was Foles. The question
This is a corroborated, sourced story.
Yeah, Deadspin, Barstool, CrossingBroad.com. So the question was, lifelong Eagles fan here to the point of being able to rattle off strength and conditioning coaches, practice squad linemen, etc. One factoid I'll never have access to, biggest wiener in the locker room. My sleeper picks are Alice Moose Knuckle Henry and Nasty Nate Allen. Your astute clarification would be much appreciated. The answer, doesn't the internet know that it's Nick Foles? I do not condone this reply. Evan Mathis.
Wow. So Foles is clearly the owner of the biggest penis in the National Football League.
Apparently.
At least in the Super Bowl.
Probably at least in the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing.
So Tom Brady hope that Giselle doesn't read that.
Here's the thing. I feel like Giselle, you know how you hear like size queens? Yeah. Where it's like it depends on the size. I feel like Giselle's the kind of lady who's like an anti-size queen. Like if it's more than 5 inches, she's like, no, man, this is my moneymaker.
Do not put that anything.
You cannot ruin what this is. 5 inches, that's it. It's perfect. That's perfect.
Do you think I will get the JCPenney catalog?
She has made an average penis owner feel special.
Sure.
And that's really what makes Giselle last forever.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What's that?
I know I'm just a patron here at the speakeasy, but any good woman will tell you it's more about the girl.
About the girl. Yeah, maybe that's it. Like right. He's like 12 inches, but it's like it literally is like the like a spaghetti noodle.
Yeah, he's like a spool.
Yeah, right.
The spool tool.
So this isn't just like a couple people know it. So like everybody, you know, was partying on the streets yesterday. So after the Eagles, everyone's partying on the streets after the NFC Championship win. And you know what? I get it. If you're an Eagles fan, it's only the third time you've ever been to the Super Bowl. It's been a while since you've had anything to celebrate, so might as well do it. Like if Patriots fans are out in the streets, like come on, you've been there. How many times? It's enough. Stop wrecking your city.
I feel like the curse of the Bambino has been fucking lifted from this goddamn team. Like you don't understand, the city of Boston has experienced championships across all four of their teams. We've talked about this before.
Right.
And again, their football team, the team that started this spiral towards greatness, began 17 years ago? 16 years ago?
A lot.
Yeah. 16 years ago. And it's still going.
So, yeah. So, now if you're in Philly, party. Party it up. I get it. That's right. One night of just going nuts. Like, I absolutely get it. I still don't understand why people start stuff on fire. But, you know, like climbing the street signs and partying, whatever.
If you know what you're doing, you set something on fire, you can file a claim with your insurance and just have it replaced.
So the city's encouraging?
Right, yeah.
Time around, though, the city of Philadelphia was sent out a memo. Did you see it?
No.
The police officer sent out a memo, like, ahead of time, for safety reasons, please bring everything inside the stores. If you have, like, the gates that are, like, you know, the gates that cover your glass or, like, pull them shut, please remove all trash cans. And then they actually lubed up the poles. They greased up all the...
Basically,
the
Philadelphia was preparing for the purge. They were just like,
exactly.
Anyone stupid enough to be outside the night that Philly clinches the NFC Championship, you may die.
Well, I had a buddy, Mike Pond, there, and he said it was just absolutely nuts. And there were people that captured like just solid video of what it was, but it was like, I don't know. I'm almost a 40-year-old guy right now, but I was okay with it.
Okay.
Again, you know?
And no
especially
one died.
If they win the Super Bowl. You've never seen the Eagles win a Super Bowl, so party off.
Yeah.
Let me all know when you're going to take predictions for next year.
For next year? That'll be in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks after the Super Bowl.
The days that pitchers and catchers report. The best day of the year. Everyone knows that.
Also one of the greatest friends tippy episodes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who's the pitcher? Who's the catcher? Are you guys open for the Eagles?
All right, so.
I think America's going for the Eagles. I think that's, what's happening?
Did you hear that? So that was a live TV report from them celebrating down in the streets of Philly.
Big dick.
So it's something that's known, like around Philadelphia, and I suppose now everywhere. Thanks to that. That guy who yelled that into the live TV like news report there?
He's the head of NBC Sports in Philadelphia.
No, he was wearing an eye patch. Close. Okay. He was wearing an eye patch.
I'd imagine. Yeah.
Some of these other ones are great, too, the way they were able to party here. Like, one guy made an entire train just go nuts. So remember, like, there was a dude last week getting his pole smoked on the train. This week, after the NFC Championship game win, it was a dude getting smoked by the pole. Check this.
Yes.
Did you see this?
No. But something's going to happen.
Oh, fuck.
He was following a train of Eagles fans. He's like, hey!
So he's running. Yeah, he's running.
Oh, my God,
That is a stationary steel beam.
It's like someone decided to remake Airplane in the Philly public transit today.
Our good pal Neil Guthrie responded to the article that we put up today.
Thank you, Neil.
That guy might be dead. Which he might. Now here, remember we posted the story
last
week that after the Eagles won, that the guy was getting his dick sucked on the train.
You're right.
So I got a message from somebody. I'm assuming that it was either the kid's father or the girl who was administering the knob job that was like his daughter.
Oh, no.
So there was a message on Facebook saying that those kids, those are kids. They're only 16 years old. So now that you know, it's child pornography. If you don't take it down, it is a criminal offense. Now, whether or not they're actually kids, they're 16, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if that was the case. I mean, I told Kate, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's 2 days later. We got the hits out of it. I took it down.
You deleted it.
Right. We're doing this show from the speakeasy in Santa Monica where there are four other dudes. There obviously isn't a financial
all
trail.
All of whom are playing pool right now.
There isn't a plethora of cash
right, yeah.
laying around to support illegal.
I'll buy you a high life.
With your unemployment check stuff for only $2. So, yeah, so this guy reaches out. Because then there were, like, some videos. Like, some there were different angles of the beach on the train. The train beach, you know?
Wow, and
some
were taken down. Multiple angle beach.
So this guy This guy went around and must have just, for, like, a night, gotten online.
It was totally the girl's dad.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, my God, this is my daughter who's basically in porn now. So were they really 16-year-old, you know,
we don't know.
Kids? I don't know. They look pretty hammered.
Yeah. They were drunk, whatever it was.
That guy looked pretty out of it.
Someone else was fooled.
So we took it down. But it's funny how far they've come in a week. Like basically they've gone full circle from getting your pole smoked to getting smoked by the pole. Now here's one more celebration I want to show you from the crew in Philadelphia.
Right.
And you can go on and see all of these celebrations on dailyupperdecker.com. And we basically took them from Barstool Sports. They had great coverage. This is one of my favorite ones. You're going to have to watch the end of it because it's just a shirtless black dude with like one of those eagle masks over here. And it's just there. What we're about to see in the video, you're going to be able to hear it, is like an old, like I would say early 90s SUV rolling down the street with a guy just sitting on the top, like waving like Santa Claus at the end of the Macy's Day Parade. So he's sitting on top just like cruising along. And then the camera just turns and it's a shirtless, like big. He looks like an offensive. He looks like Nate Newton, the old offensive lineman for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like it would be like, it'd be like
big motherfucker.
It's like he's walking around with a diaper and then just an Eagles mask on. Here you go. Check this out. Again, you can check this out on dailyupperdecker.com.
Woo!
This is what Furbrick will be watching. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't know Eagles had nips that big, man. Those are big nipples, man. That's a big nipple eagle.
That might be one of the most fascinating 5-second videos you will ever see.
Ever.
That's actually a 3-second video.
Ever. That was incredible.
You see a dude on a maroon SUV from like the late 90s, early 90s, sitting on top. And it looks like he's like texting somebody while he's driving along. And then the camera just turns over to a shirtless fat black dude with an Eagles mask on.
Perfect.
I mean, that's a party. A party.
Now that's how you live your life.
So we don't have any damage reports yet there were arrests made last night, though.
Really?
So for the second time in as many weeks, a dude in Philadelphia, an Eagles fan celebrating his team's win, got arrested for drunkenly punching a police horse. So if you thought the Tide Pod challenge was catching on.
Everyone knows that an Eagle's biggest enemy is a horse. Everyone knows that.
It is.
Yeah, eagles and horses. That's the broad fight in America that we know. Those are the two symbols of America.
The
you
horse?
A horse because of a cowboy and an eagle because of the bald eagle.
Are you just saying that because you're bald?
And the eagles. And
the comedy
bald
show
eagles.
Hasn't even started. And,
the comedy's already going.
He's already getting heckled.
The comedy's getting heckled by another bald guy about eagles, man. I was talking about the fucking eagles, man.
So you think a bald eagle and a horse are the two symbols of America?
Cowboys, Indians, and Giants as well. The NFC East, I think, represents America.
What would be the most obese animal on the planet?
A giant. a giant. A giant is literally just a fat, fucking tall piece of shit.
Nah, so that would be some kind of bear, right? There's got to be a bear that just, almost like an immobile bear.
Right.
Like, you know, they had that show like My Fat Fabulous right. Life or something right. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Well, I don't know. No, I think My Fat Fabulous Life is like a positive fat show. There's maybe another one.
Remember Paul Bearer? Remember Paul, like the wrestling introducer, the guy with the Undertaker? Paul Bearer?
No, I had a girlfriend at that point, so my wrestling days were
Okay. I was like six.
But there's got to be like these immobile animals. Like that would be something
yeah.
that
yeah.
maybe back in the old days it would have been a horse and an eagle. Now it's like an eagle and like just a fat sack of shit.
Whatever buys a rascal scooter.
All right, moving on. moving on here to Hot Mess. One more piece of football news.
Okay.
Good news, Packers fans, I guess. Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick now an item. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that, well, you know, if you manage to fuck things up with Olivia Munn, you kind of just got to,
well,
whatever
was,
comes your way, you can't.
She was
you
the
can't.
One who was reportedly more devastated.
Olivia Munn was?
Olivia Munn was, yeah.
This is
almost
all
like,
just,
almost
this
like
is
that
all
he did.
Just TV.
See, but, all right, so I think Olivia Munn and Danica Patrick are kind of the same girl. That
in what way?
In that, like, they can be extremely hot, and then with, like, the wrong lighting or, like, just a different angle, they look like a dude.
Well, so you mean starring in X-Men Apocalypse? Yeah.
That Olivia
Munn? Have you ever acted in a movie so bad that dudes stop thinking you're hot?
Is that the Olivia Munn story?
That's what happened to Olivia Munn. She was fine as fuck, and then she starred in a piece of shit movie where the only thing she had, they put her in the ad. She was the focal point of the ad, and the only thing she did in the movie was the part that she did in the ad. That was it.
That was it?
That was it. It was hot for
like
a second,
man?
But then, well, here's the thing. It's just that she wasn't enough of a woman for very long that it was like, why did that happen 10 more times in the movie? You know what I mean? They fucking blew it.
Right. I don't know. That's just my take. So I was trying to figure out, like, people were asking me, do you think Aaron Rodgers to Danica Patrick from Olivia Munn to Danica right. Patrick is right. like a step down?
I don't think it's necessarily a step down.
I think they're kind of the same girl.
Here's the thing. We all have talked about this before. There was a dude that made a bunch of Twitter posts that said that Aaron Rodgers broke his heart because he left him for Olivia Munn.
Right. That was kind of where I was going with
and
this
that's
story.
What I'm saying, like, you know, maybe Danica's just serving another role the way that Olivia Munn and Olivia was like, you know, I'm not doing this shit anymore. This ain't real.
This ain't
a real thing.
I think that Danica Patrick and Olivia Munn are both girls who can be very manly and probably own one, two, or three strap-on appendages or apparatus.
She makes her put on the helmet.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got a big fake dick hanging off of it, and Aaron Rodgers just lets him go to town on it.
Listen,
I don't know.
Pegging has started a mini sitcom, so I'm not going to knock it. I'm not going to knock anyone who's into pegging because get whatever you can out of life.
What do you say the chances are that Olivia Munn and Danica Patrick have each pegged Aaron Rodgers?
I'm just going to say this. The disappointed gentleman from a few years back, I believe him.
I know, man. There were like, some good pictures. Yeah.
I believe him.
Well, and it was pretty crazy that it was only after this guy came out and did this that Aaron Rodgers started like
dating
high profile
dating
people,
women,
like,
dating
say, like, hey, look,
stars,
I'm a
famous
yeah.
people.
Yeah,
right. He broke someone's heart.
All right. So are you cool. a fan of it? Are you gonna read stories? Are you gonna like? You know, go to events and
I
hope to see
you,
Aaron Rodgers with Danica Patrick.
Yeah, well, suddenly the Indianapolis 500 has attention again. As does the does
or
she
Daytona.
Still race? Does she still race or no? She retired.
I thought I saw something that said that she's got a team now. That she's got a team.
Okay,
for,
so she's
going to
Joe Gibbs this. So she's going to coach the Washington Redskins in 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she might do like a Ricky Bobby where he. Just,
if you're not first, you're last.
They got a hodgepodge of like sponsors.
Right,
gonna,
yeah.
She's going to have to put like a sponsorship across her window or something.
Underrated piece of that movie is that they turn drafting into a joke. Shake and bake. Shake and Bake was a joke about drafting, and I love that.
The whole movie's outstanding.
It's great.
I don't know what to think.
After that movie, I feel like Nintendo thought it was important to incorporate drafting into Mario Kart. That wasn't a thing until after Talladega Nights came out. I'm just going to put that out there.
Did they throw banana peels behind them at each other?
They should have. In the movie, they should have. Yeah, that should be a thing in NASCAR, is items.
Wouldn't that be great? I would actually watch if you were like the 50-lap winner and you could all of a sudden get like a...
Blue-shelled? Like just fucking nuclear taken out by a fucking blue shell that tailed you? Yeah, I'd watch that. I'd watch that tomorrow.
The last guy to cross the 50-mile mark gets the shell that goes all the way up to the beginning, bypasses everyone else.
Someone turns into a giant Bullet Bill and just fires them up the way.
Gets Jimmy Johnson up at the front. Damn it! Because imagine what that would do to the race. You wouldn't want to be first at a certain point.
No, you wouldn't want to be first until the very end of the race.
Yeah, you would hear, like, all of a sudden, you'd be on, like, the PAs with each other or on your headset just saying, like, did he cross yet? Did he cross yet? When that guy crosses the 50, it's like, drop back, baby. Oh, you're on to something.
Yeah, I think this is
throwing banana peels?
Items.
Oh, man. That'd be
items
great.
In NASCAR. Think
what
about
else?
It.
There were the shells, the banana peels, the bolt of lightning, where everyone would turn into a small.
Right, if you could shrink everybody. The person in last place is the only person who can get that, and they'd shrink everybody else. And then you get the star where you just can just bail through. Uh-huh. Every turn's easy. You can knock people out of your way. But these are things that are reserved for last place.
Oh, man. NASCAR 2150, I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
You just this wait. 130 years from now. That's NASCAR at its finest right there.
Can't wait.
Moving on here in the hot mess, another great story. This is that Lakers fan I was telling you about. His name is Suni Strong. So he's at the Lakers game the other night, and he's 27 years old. He gets a shot at a half court to make a half court shot. If he hits it, he gets $100,000. It's called It was called the Mandalay Bay Big Shot Jackpot.
Nice.
I don't know if Mandalay Bay has $100,000 on him right now. That place is still like quiet.
Is it really? I thought that was like the center of boxing for a while, but I guess it's boxing. So.
Yeah, the whole Vegas thing happened, and like I was there and I actually stayed at the Mandalay Bay, like a couple floors below where it happened. And they're beautiful rooms.
Yeah,
beautiful
rooms. Every hotel Everybody's in nice Vegas there. Is pretty
it's
great.
Great. It's but empty. You know this was like the corner rooms where you have like two bedrooms, and a kitchen area, the living room area. Like it is beautiful view of the strip. It is amazing.
Wow,
amazing rooms. But there was no one there. It was like every other casino. This is for the SEMA conference in November. Every other casino, every other hotel was just full. Couldn't find a room at a blackjack table.
But the Mandalay Bay has
fallen
off.
Mandalay Bay was just still dead.
What happened? It's so weird how
that happened.
When that place opened, that place was huge.
Are you curious? You don't know what happened?
No.
The shooting, the concert, the Jason Aldean concert.
That happened at the Mandalay Bay,
yeah.
Oh, I thought that happened just somewhere on the strip.
Boy, our ratings are going down. 50% of the podcast doesn't know that there was a shooting in Vegas.
Well, I knew there was a shooting in Vegas. I didn't know it happened at the Mandalay Bay. I thought it happened on the strip. Just the guy was in the Mandalay Bay firing
down below in the concert.
Oh, my God. So what you're saying right now is that prices at the Mandalay Bay have never been lower.
Right. Correct.
Right, yeah.
So it's like now is the time to go.
Yeah, this is the Jew chiming in on the situation.
Trying to get back into the circle
right,
of trust.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway... It's the Mandalay Bay Big Shot Jackpot, and it was. I think he was only the sixth guy to ever hit it.
Oh, good!
So $100,000 hits the half court shot. But the craziest part about it was that Suni Strong is not only a SpaceX employee, but he's also a bounty hunter, which might be like the two. Like craziest,
it's like
cowboy
might be like
Bebop. The craziest combination of jobs of all time. It's kind of like I work at Ralph's. And I'm also an investment broker. You know, like, I also work in investments.
Yeah, all my paychecks go to Apple every day. So a bounty hunter who's also travels through space. That's Cowboy Bebop. That's the premise to late 90s anime, as we all know. And everyone knows how good that show is. That show is fucking great.
I don't know. I was trying to think of like different. Can you think of any other like job combinations? Like he's a priest and a porn star.
A doctor and someone who lives on food stamps. I don't know.
He's a doctor, but on the weekends, he works at one of those, like, full-service car washes.
Exactly.
And not as the guy who's taking your money, but the guy who, like, drives it at the very end. It's going really quick.
I know.
He's got a ShamWow.
The girl who works at Hooters to pay her way through medical school.
Ah.
That's a good one.
Right.
That's good.
You know, that might be like one of those things that you can like ask your doctor. Like, let's get to you ask me all these questions.
Right.
What's my family history like? Mm-hmm. Let me find out a little bit about you. Where'd you go to college? Were you a stripper?
Right. Yeah. Let's see. A Coke dealer who also volunteers at a homeless shelter.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, well, it's like, it's like the Dexter. You're right. Almost like a Dexter. You're a cop, right, that's a serial killer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What else?
We would say a teacher who also doubles as a, I don't know, just like a driver for bank robberies. You know.
Which, by the way, during the game yesterday, that Southwest commercial came on.
Oh, yeah.
The one where he gets in and he thinks he's in an Uber.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah,
yeah.
Car.
Yeah. No, that's one of their better efforts.
Yeah, yeah, I like that one. No, he's a hostage.
Meanwhile,
guy.
The DirecTV commercials are stale. Yeah, you got to move on to those.
The thing is, they don't have good acting quarterbacks. None of the quarterbacks now can act.
No. This is past the quarterbacks now. Right. This is like the but people still are going to cable, just like people still like opening sodas that have been shaken. You know,
my buddy pointed out how racist it was that the part where he's like, people like to walk into glass doors, and the guy was Asian.
Or
pointed
no,
out he like, but he couldn't see it. Like, it was kind of racist, like that. It was really racist.
I think it was like the rotating doors at Dodger Stadium, like the rotating gates, almost like the ones in like the New York City subway, right, like that. You reach around the other side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we hammered that. You hammered that.
We certainly hammered something.
Yeah. All right. One more story before we get into what it's going to be known as our Factor Fudge.
Factor Fudge.
This one has a little bit to do with sports, but not so much.
Okay.
It's because it's a fishing boat, but I don't think they were fishing during a tournament. Did you see this? I put it up on the Daily Upper Decker on Friday.
No.
So they're on the Columbia River. Now, this happened last August, but they didn't release the video until now, and it's crazy. So it's a fishing boat with one dude and two of his pals.
Okay.
And they're fishing on the Columbia River, and all of a sudden there's like a huge like boat. Like, I mean, not like a carnival cruise ship or anything like that, but it's like a massive boat, like someone who's like just who's got the world by the balls. Like, you see Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack,
right?
You know, and he's got the big boat, and he's like going through like jet skiers.
He's living life, and just yeah, everything's great.
So check out this clip. So they're sitting there fishing. All of a sudden, they see this boat coming.
No, no. No. No.
If they don't jump, they're dead.
Oh, my God. They all jumped. They all jumped. They all had to jump.
So
holy
that guy,
shit.
That guy's suing for $372,500, which
yeah.
I think is
way below.
Yeah, that
way
boat
below
alone is
value.
Like $500,000.
No, that's a $10 million. That yeah. is a, I'm going to take your life. I'm going to take your heart. I'm going to eat your children. You go. You show up like Mike Tyson, the first fight that he won, and he's threatening Jim Gray with his life. Jim Gray, I'm going to eat your heart. I'm going to eat your children. That's what you do.
Here's another angle of it.
There's another angle.
No shit is the same thing from Caddyshack.
Yeah,
when Ronnie Dangerfield is behind the wheel. Now the dude who is behind the wheel, this is where the story gets really interesting,
okay,
right? The dude behind the wheel of the big boat, his name was he's 75 years old. His name is Marlon Lee Larson. Getting sued by Brian Maess for $372,500. Larson was sitting down and allegedly occasionally using his cell phone while he was behind the wheel of a boat that was so big. I mean, you saw how big it was that you should have been standing so you can see everything that's in front of you, right?
Right.
So when he's on land, this guy needs a motorized scooter.
Oh, my God.
So that's why he wasn't standing, right? Yet they were letting him pilot this
boat. He's allowed to pilot a boat, and he doesn't have all of his faculties?
Yeah, Larson told investigators he couldn't see where he was driving since he was sitting down.
Oh, my God.
Larson, who uses a motorized scooter on land, admitted that he probably should have been standing at the time.
Except I can't stand, officer. What am I supposed to do?
Larson's son-in-law, who was also on the boat at the time, told investigators that he occasionally saw Larson using his cell phone while driving the boat. State law bans cell phone use while driving, but there are no specific laws governing cell phone use while boating. So yeah, I think Larson's fucked in this one. But I think $372,500 is low.
It's minuscule.
I think it's low,
it's
right?
It's minuscule.
What will your lawyer fees be on that?
You just have to think about the kind of disability pay this guy earns. Just from having to be in a chair most of his days. You can get a lot from the federal government if you can file a lawsuit against a person.
Apparently, if that's his boat, if that's his boat, that's crazy.
Right.
Well, the scooter was probably
he
free
really
based,
blew
on,
it.
Based on the commercials that I've seen, you know, in between Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. Most of those scooters that they're advertising are free if you have the right insurance.
Yes, but it's about the insurance. And it's talking – that's why we're – you know, some may call it insurance fraud. Others may call it a great way to grift the federal government. You sue Rascal Scooters is what you do.
If I'm ever in a scooter, just – help me pull the trigger. All right. So last story here on the Daily Upper Decker. Again, check us out every single day on dailyupperdecker.com. Also on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. This one kind of hits home because we're both comics.
Okay.
So did you see this one at all? This the comic named Steve. His name is Steve Brown.
No. What did Steve Brown do?
Steve Brown was doing a comedy show. I think he's like a DC-based comic.
Okay.
And from what I've heard, he's pretty funny.
Okay.
I mean, pretty good dude.
Yeah.
So he's doing a show down in Columbia, South Carolina. And the dude in the front row, like, just jumps up on stage and then starts attacking him with the mic stand. And, like, you know, the mic stand itself comes out of the bass and he's, like, swinging at him. They use the stool and he throws the stool at him. You didn't see this?
No. No, thank God I didn't see this. I wouldn't have shown up tonight. I don't want to do a comedy show anymore. I'm going to stay home. No one's going to attack me with a mic stand if I'm at home.
So while I pull up the video, what's the closest you've ever been? Because we've all been heckled. We've been in the business long enough that we're out there.
A couple people like kind of made it seem like they wanted to hit me because I made fun of them after a show. But like they were just like kind of standing around and nothing really happened.
Right.
Like it's like no one's actually approached me to physically assault me.
I once had a fork and knife thrown up at me at Prince of Wales by a pal.
But they, that was how they showed you how much they liked you.
Right. I still have it. I stored it away. Because to this day, I believe it'll be the only time that I ever get silverware thrown at me at a comedy show. And
like, you got to hold on to that.
We actually sounded good that night, too.
Right.
It was so ironic.
Right.
Like maybe he was celebrating.
Right.
Like, you know, in the Blues Brothers where they're throwing like beer bottles at the chicken wire.
Yeah.
But it's because they love him.
Yeah.
It's great.
Roadhouse. It's the stage on Roadhouse where it's just chain link fence.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the closest that I've come. I actually got in an argument before with a guy we let come up and play drums during a song. And he was so drunk, he was terrible. So we just started, like, ripping on him a little bit. And he didn't know it was a comedy show, so he got all butthurt about it.
Oh, no.
He was, like, hollering at me, and they had to haul him out. But it was like – but I think that's close. I've never had someone jump up on stage and take something and, like, try to beat me with the guitar or anything
no
like
way.
That. All right, so this is what happened to Steve Brown. You can find it on Barstool Sports.
What?
Shout out to the person who took the video vertically.
Oh, my God.
So finally, when the stool came up, that's when it was like, all right, people finally jumped out of the crowd. But they let him go nuts with the mic and mic stand, and no one came up to help. Like, where was security? There was – I mean, at comedy clubs, you have security, but it's not it's not like they're technically
they're not in the room
the
waiting,
show.
But
yeah,
like –
someone has to come out and say, like, hey, man, you need to get in there, I think, in order for security to come in. But what was funny is
I've never seen something like this before.
So apparently –
If this is like a prank in a week, I'm going to be fucking mad.
No. Apparently that guy like jumped up. And there's more to the video where like the guy goes in the back. He's clearly on something or off his meds, one of the two.
Okay.
So they take him into a back room and the dude like comes out shirtless and tries to go back up on stage.
Who let him out of his sights?
I think that if you're one of those guys who like, you know, is going to fight with someone or like or do whatever
right.
and you start taking your shirt off in order to fight.
Right.
Like the chances of you having a felony on your record already, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah,
100%.
2-1 ratio.
So I can't say I've ever had anyone do something like that to me.
No.
But the craziest part of that story might be that they apparently Steve Brown said nothing to that guy.
The guy just jumped up.
Yep. The guy just jumped up. And,
oh
like,
my
went
God. You can't predict that. You don't know when that's coming up.
Right. So, again, have you ever seen anything at a comedy show? I've never.
No.
The Pauly Shore thing ended up being where he was in, like, somewhere in Texas, like Lubbock or Laredo, Texas or something, doing a show. And a guy came up and slapped him in the face, and Pauly Shore, like, kind of whined and then went off the stage.
Right.
That was. It came out, like, a week later. Or not even a week. It was a couple days later. Like, the chief of police was like, no, Mr. Shore asked us to be there, asked us to do this. It was all a setup. So. Again, I hope it's not a setup. Or actually, I hope it is a setup. Otherwise, it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't want to do comedy
tonight.
That's
fucking scary.
Especially with this crowd.
I have to really pee. So that's how much that scared me. So let's do this quick, Tommy, yeah? What's the fact or fudge?
The fact or fudge today.
Fact or fudge?
Fact or fudge?
The fact or fudge today. We were watching. It was all adults.
Yes.
And then one infant. Watching the collection of games today with our good pal Barry Murphy at the Daily Upper Decker. We were over at his place, all adults, and I still think that this is how far the site has come. One of my favorite sites, of course, other than the Daily Upper Decker, dailyupperdecker.com, Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. One of my favorite sites is Urban Dictionary.
Oh, it's a great site.
I'm going on 40. It's crazy. And it just amuses me how people come up with this shit. And it just goes to show that if you put your mind to it, you can come up with anything.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary, love it. So I can't remember how we got there, but we're watching the games, having a great time, and finally I went to Urban Dictionary to determine whether or not a city, someone had said whatever city, whatever it was, and like someone said, Gilmar, is there an Urban Dictionary sex move that has whatever the city was? And I was like, that is a great fact or fudge. So I started looking up all these cities and sex moves.
Wow.
So the fact or fudge question today is this a city that is featured in an Urban Dictionary sex move or not?
Okay.
Is this a city that is featured in an Urban Dictionary sex move or not? Do you get it?
Let's hear it.
Okay. First up, we're going to go with San Benito. San Benito.
No.
I don't know where San Benito is, but it is actually a fact.
Oh, no.
It is called the San Benito Garbage Truck.
You have to take a
guess. This is part of the game. When you get it wrong, you have to take a guess.
So a San Benito garbage truck is someone who just takes all kinds of matter inside their mouth. It doesn't matter what it is, but their mouth is open and they have to take it.
You're actually pretty close. It's when you attach a dildo to a wall and then run backward full speed, making a beep, beep, beep sound, hoping to impale your rectum.
I don't care if I get any of these right. I just want to hear all of them.
So it's a lot of times, too, the sentence that goes along with the definition is the best part.
It's the best part.
The sentence here for the San Benito garbage truck.
Beep, beep, beep sound. So if you don't do that, that's just called a San Benito.
Not a beep, beep, but it's got to be the beep, beep, beep.
You got to have the beep, beeps.
It's not the Roadrunner meep, meep. It's the beep, beep, beep sound. Now, I'm sure if you do the meep, meep sound, that sounds like something a little northern.
Right.
All right. Brad was showing that cunt hole Steve how to do the San Benito garbage truck when Brad got shit all over the wall.
How you doing, man? Good to see you.
So that's
That's awesome.
All right, so you're 0 for 1. Not a good start.
All right. 0 for 1.
Oshkosh. Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Yeah, everyone knows about the Oshkosh bagosh.
Well, no, that's just clothing.
Oh, okay. I thought that was there was another word for the Dan Schneider. That's how you abuse the children on your shows, and then you get to create shows with them on Nickelodeon, and then they're under your spell.
Oh, this is a real guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. All right. Yeah. Well, Oshkosh, yes or no? Fact or fudge?
I'm going to go fact.
That is incorrect.
Fuck.
Incorrect. How about Milwaukee?
Yes.
Milwaukee is correct. There's the Milwaukee milkshake.
Oh, I thought it was Milwaukee's best. Right. It was just the collection of the everyone's waste in Milwaukee, their bodily waste.
Well, after reading what the Milwaukee milkshake is, it might actually be the same recipe for Milwaukee's best. The Milwaukee milkshake is where you shit in a condom, freeze it, cut the condom off, and dildo a girl's pussy while it melts.
Do y'all know what a hot Carl is?
Oh, yeah, Carl. That's basic. A hot Carl. I knew that shit in high school.
Plus, I don't know a city called Carl, so I don't even know if it applies to this.
There's got
to
be a Carl. Carl's Bat Cavern.
Play Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, yeah. Carly, great game.
So there's also a second definition.
Of a hot girl?
Milwaukee milkshake. Focus here.
Okay.
It's when a guy is fucking a girl, or dude if that's your thing, doggy style, and then throws up on her back. Yeah. And there's also a second version to the second definition.
I feel like that should be called the Milwaukee's worst. Like, that's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
When getting head, coming and puking on your partner's face at the same time and making them lick it all up.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, there's actually another definition of the Milwaukee milkshake. They can't get enough. When your female sexual partner is menstruating with consent.
She agreed with her body to bleed on the same day.
You collect her menstruation discharge in a cup, containment vessel, or condom, then mix in as many cum loads as you can muster. Presto, you have yourself a Milwaukee milkshake, perfect to wash down a hearty meal.
Oh my God.
The sentence there, hey babe, that Milwaukee milkshake we made the other night, do you think it'll still be good? It's been in the fridge.
It only lasts a couple of days. Everyone knows that.
All right, let's do another one here. In Fact or Fudge.
One more.
Lubbock, Texas.
Yes, I'm going to say Lubbock, Texas is definitely a sex move.
It's a sex move, but it's only after someone has passed out. It's Lubbock Thunder. Thunder.
It's not the Lubbock Roethlisberger.
No,
just the Lubbock Thunder.
Thunder.
Okay.
The act of farting in a drunk person's mouth after they have passed out. Only after they have passed out. The ad that Google or the ad service found appropriate there. Three signs of a fatty liver.
I feel like a Lubbock Roethlisberger is when he farts with his dick in your mouth after you pass out.
That's all the time we have here today on the Daily Upper Decker. Make sure you check us out every single day, dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. You can also find Adam Furberg, very funny comedian. You can pretty much find him everywhere in Los Angeles, 7 nights a week doing some very funny comedy shows.
Thank you.
You can also find him on Twitter, at Adam Furberg, AdamFeuerberg. You can find me at Funny Tommy. Quick, Lakers and Celtics tomorrow.
It's going to be I got Lakers in 7. They're going to need the teams are so bad they're going to need 7 games to play them. Also, I just want to say quick shout out to Ryan Pfeiffer, crab diving. Thank you for featuring the show. We miss you. We love you, man.
Yeah, congratulations on going down to Florida and not getting addicted to meth or some kind of laundry detergent combo. Yeah, good job, Ryan Pfeiffer, crab diving. Woo! Great guys.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.